Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now this Lord's Day afternoon, we come again. We begin to look at a series of messages on the parables of Christ. We started last month in January. And as I said last month, the parables are often the most familiar portions of Scripture for most of us, and often the most loved parts of Scripture. But as we begin to look into them, we need to recognize that the Apostle Paul warned us about corrupting the Word of God. He said he wasn't like one that corrupted the Word of God. Peter said that there were those that wrested the Scriptures or twisted the Scriptures. They read them and they misunderstood them. And so as we consider these passages, we've got to be very careful that we understand them the way Jesus would have us to do so. So what I want us to do today is consider how we should understand the parables. How should we interpret them before next month we begin to look at one parable a week? So I'm going to remind you of a number of parables today as we think about how to understand the parables. I'm going to cover four things today. If we're going to understand the parables, we have to pay attention to context. We also have to pay attention to the conclusion. In other words, we have to realize what comes before the parable and what comes after the parable. The context and the conclusion. But we also have to think in the third C. That's the characters. In a parable, there are people. We have to understand those characters and who they represent. And then we also, fourthly, need to consider or pay attention to the consequences. In other words, what is the parable teaching us? What are its implications? What's Jesus getting at? So let's think first, paying attention to the context. Think about the Good Samaritan. Y'all remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? But you remember, that comes when a lawyer asks Jesus a question, who is my neighbor? We have to understand the context of the Good Samaritan if we ever want to understand that parable. Or how about the parable of the Great Supper in Luke 14, verses 16 through 24? Why does Jesus give the parable of the Great Supper? He follows some bystander that was present there who says this. He says, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Somebody's already thinking about what it's going to be like in heaven. He says, what a blessing that'll be. And then Jesus jumps from that and says, okay, let me explain that to you. Let me explain to you who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. Some will be blessed by being there. Some will not be blessed. They won't be there. We have to understand the context. Think of Luke 15. Three parables in Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Remember we looked at the prodigal son last year for several months? But do you remember why Jesus gives those three parables? of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son in Luke 15? It's because in Luke 15, 1 and 2, we have the context. It says, "Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." The Pharisees and scribes, they were offended that Jesus was hanging around with the tax collectors and the sinners. Those tax collectors and sinners, they were feeling guilty. They wanted to hear the word. They wanted rest for their souls. And so they wanted to hear. So they wanted to hear the gospel, and they drew near to Christ. But the Pharisees didn't like that. And so Jesus explains his ministry as he explains the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Think also, if we're considering the context, think about the importunate widow. Do you remember that widow that kept bugging the judge? He didn't fear God. He didn't care about men. But she wanted justice. He finally got so tired of her coming that he'd give her what she wanted. Do you remember why Jesus gives that parable? In Luke 18:1, it tells us, Luke tells us, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end," for this reason, "that men might always to pray and not to faint." That's why Jesus gives us that parable. We have to understand the context if we want to understand how to interpret that passage properly. Same with the Pharisee and the publican, the passage I've just read. What is the context there? You can't hear me? I'm sorry. Okay, I'll be as close as I can. What's the context of the publican and the Pharisee? It says in verse 9, "And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Jesus knew that there were people among him that thought they were the bomb. They had it all together. And everybody else they hated. They didn't like anybody that wasn't like them. No, that wasn't nice. No, that wasn't. That wasn't nice at all. So you've got to pay attention to the context. We also have to pay attention to the conclusion. What comes at the end of the parable? Not just what comes before, what comes after. Think again about the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Okay, we're told in verse 9 that Jesus spake the parable because there were certain that trusted in their own righteousness. But we also learn at the end of the parable in verse 14 that Jesus says this, "I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Jesus gives us the interpretation of that parable in verse 14. So we have to pay attention to the context, what comes first. Then we have to pay attention to the conclusion, what comes at the end. Let's think one more, about one more parable. You all remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 virgins, they have enough oil to keep their lamps lit. The other 5, it takes a long time for the bridegroom to come, right? They don't have enough oil. They run out of oil. Well, what's Jesus teaching us there? If we look at the conclusion at the end, we find out in verse 13. "Watch therefore." What's a therefore? Therefore. That's what we have to ask ourselves. We see a therefore. What's it therefore? Watch therefore. Jesus is saying, watch. Be like those virgins who have enough oil. They're continuing to watch. They don't get tired. They don't have to run away. They wait for the Lord's coming. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So we have to, as we study the parables, we're going to continue to look at the context. We're going to look at what is there before the parable. We're also going to look at the conclusion, what comes at the end of the parable. Some parables tell us something up front, some tell us something at the end. But we also have to pay attention to the characters, the third C in the parable. Pay attention to the characters. Luke 16, 19 through 31, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. How many characters are in that parable? Rich man and Lazarus. Two. Any too many? No, there's two more. Actually, six more. How about Father Abraham? Right? A spirit of a just man made perfect. A man who served the Lord in his generation, now in heaven, in his soul. Five more characters. They can all be treated the same. How about the rich man's brothers? How about all his brothers? So as we consider the characters, we learn the rich man was rich in goods. He had everything in this world, but he was poor spiritually. We learn about Lazarus, who was very poor in this world, but he was rich spiritually. He had the pearl of great price, didn't he? And then think of Abraham, the father of the faithful, the example of the saint of the Old Testament. As I said, a spirit of a just man made perfect. And then those five brothers, who the rich man thought that if he could be raised from the dead, they would believe. They'd believe in Messiah then, wouldn't they? Jesus says, no, Moses is enough, the Scripture's sufficient. If they don't believe Moses, they won't believe you being raised from the dead. That won't be enough. That won't be enough. So we've got to pay attention to the characters. Rich man and Lazarus. Think about also the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through 31. It says in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. How many characters in the prodigal son? A certain man, one, had two sons. One plus two is three. Right? So we can learn something about the father, about his grace, about the fact that he was looking down the road when the prodigal came back. We learn something about a wayward child, prodigal son. Just a minute. Just a minute. We'll be done. Just hold on. But we also learn about the hypocritical son. How about that elder son who just thought he was doing everything that dad wanted and thought he was going to be righteous? Thought that was a way to get to please God. So we've got to pay attention to the context. What comes beginning, what comes at the end. We'll also, as we start studying the parables, consider the characters. Look at context, conclusion, characters. One more. We'll consider the consequences. The consequences. Think of the unjust steward in Luke 16, 1 through 9. In Luke 16, 1 through 9, we have the parable. But then in verses 10 through 13, Jesus explains it to us. He tells us the consequences. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he does. But if he does, we better listen to what he says. If we have an inspired interpretation, we better listen to it. Listen to verses 10 and 13. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Jesus gives us the implications, the consequences, doesn't he? He also gives us the consequences, as we've seen, in Matthew 13, 18 through 23. He gives us the parable of the sower, and the seed going onto four different grounds. But in that parable, like the parable of the unjust steward, God is pleased to give us an interpretation. Jesus gives us those interpretations, those consequences. So what are the four C's for understanding the parables? Pay attention to the context. Pay attention to the conclusion. Pay attention to the characters in the parable. And then pay attention to the consequences or the inspired interpretation. Now, if we start looking through the parables, we'll use those when we can. The first parable we're going to look at next month is going to be the Good Samaritan. So get ready and we'll consider the Good Samaritan, Lord willing, next week. Let us pray.